and welcome to Chats For You, the podcast where I, James Walker, talk to people I like for you, the public. And that is really all it is. Like, basically, I try and talk to people I like, and they sometimes let me. It's a great premise, really. In this episode, episode 44, I talk to the comedian Jojo Sutherland, and in a very, in a first for this podcast, Jojo is still here when I'm doing the introduction and outro for it. So, Jojo, how do you feel it went, our chat?
Well, this is it. I'm refusing to go until I see what else you're going to do. And being the ever needy comic going, was it all right? Will you use all of it?
Yeah.
I think it went quite well.
Yeah, it went quite well.
Yeah.
And I don't think anything shows... gives you more faith than two people that just talk saying the thing you're about to hear is good.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, genuinely, guys, just keep listening.
Yeah.
We think it was all right. We thought it was all right.
Yeah.
We got a few good things in there.
Yes, not bad.
I particularly like my analogy at the end. And that's so you have to wait right to the end to see it. Absolutely.
Really good work from
brilliant
you.
Brilliant analogy.
That's amazing. Like
regarding the BBC.
Yeah.
Just to get so just so that they know that
what
something...
tease work that was.
Yeah.
You're really good at that. Okay. Feel a bit outmatched now. Listen to me, the one that's not that good at it, doing a chat with Jojo Sutherland now. So, Jojo, is there anything that can help you get in the mood for a chat that I could do, sort of like how comedians have riders before a gig? Is there anything I could do to...
Well, you've already very kindly given me a cup of tea, so that's
yep.
That started, and I've had lovely Ziggy to stroke.
Yep, my dog Ziggy.
The dog, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so we're not talking euphemisms. So, and a beautiful view out the window. So, yeah, I'm one of those people that you can kind of just start talking to without having to fluff me, as they say.
Right, yeah, so you're just ready.
I'm just ready.
Ready to go.
Always ready to go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm quite good.
So, Jojo, when was the last time you seen what you're doing, just a situation in life, and thought, I am a silly lady?
Oh, what? Really? Now a silly lady? Kind of every day when I get up. I just go, what am I doing? Why am I so stupid? Why didn't I stay at school, sticking at things, have a high-powered job and lots of money? Most days I think I'm quite silly.
Yeah.
I'm not making other life choices. I don't think you can make life choices, though. I think life makes choices for you.
Oh, that's very deep.
It is a bit deep. That's quite quick, isn't it?
Deep.
Quick in the deep.
Yeah,
let's not mess about, James. Let's get really down to hardcore.
Well, usually I'll leave it a bit later. Let's get into
I don't need warming up.
Yeah, no. I do. I think I do. But yeah, is there like a specific encounter or situation recently where you have felt like really silly, something happened?
I think one of the things that I do on a regular basis is I forget people's names or I forget people's faces or I think that somebody is somebody else. And so, you know, just last night on stage at the stand, I came back in after the interval and started chatting to the girl in the front row who I thought I'd been out having a cigarette with and going, oh, yeah, Charlie, and then we were talking about this. She went, it wasn't me. oh no, sorry. It was this other girl on the other side. So yeah. I just feel a bit
I've found that for remembering people's names,
mm-hmm.
I've got a nice skill that I think kind of works. It's when you're saying hello to them the first time, say their name again.
Yes, a very good trick.
That totally works because then you picture you saying it to them.
Absolutely.
And that's a free tip for anyone listening.
It is a very good tip.
Have you got any life tips? Anything you think can help people in their life?
Oh, just overall?
You've gone
deep? Jesus. Do you know what? I had a really nice expression last night. Somebody said something to me, and I think it's a really good tip, is remember to send the lift back down. So if you get up further the ladder or you get to the top, don't keep the lift up there with you. Send it back down to help other people up.
That's nice.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. I'm going to use that in all conversations ever.
Send now, the lift back down.
Yeah, I'll start it with that.
Yeah.
All chats. So, Jojo, if I were to become you, okay,
mm-hmm.
steal your identity.
Good luck with that.
What would you say are the three things I'd have to get right? In other words, what makes Jojo Sutherland, Jojo Sutherland?
What makes Jojo Sutherland, Jojo Sutherland? I think my honesty. I think you've got to be very honest. If you're going to be me... you have to not be afraid, without being rude, but not have to have that sense of, oh, I can't say that because they're my boss or they're, you know, more or perceived to be more important. I think you have to be honest. So I'm very honest with people regardless of their status. I think to be me, you really need to have, you do need to have a sense of humour, but you need to have a sense of humour whilst literally everything is crashing around your ears. So you can't be whinging about anything. Do you know what I mean? Okay. If your dog dies and your parents get killed in a car crash and your house goes on fire, you've got to keep smiling, okay? Yeah. That's absolutely crucial.
I'll have to give up whinging.
And what else? So, yeah, so be honest. Get on with it. Don't be whinging. And what would be the third? What else would I describe me? I think I'm a really good bloody friend. I think I've got a very strong moral compass.
Strong moral compass.
Strong moral compass, yeah. It's quite lonely up here on the moral high ground. But I've quite a strong moral compass.
And we sort of missed the big one of like sort of appearance wise. I'd probably have to change a bit. Wouldn't you?
Oh, I don't know. I've there's been days I've looked a bit like you, James.
Good days or bad days?
Bit of a beard. Yeah, no, I've got some blokey attributes about me.
So what would... Here's a new question for the year.
Oh, wow, okay.
Some people have been asked this already. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the greatest journey you've been on?
I'm loving these questions. Well, before we started recording, we were talking earlier just about that I'd been on Wife Swap and journey.
Just quickly, I don't want to spoil the magic for people, but sometimes I do talk to guests off podcast.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah. Okay.
No, it's all right. I just wanted to clear that let up, everyone know
that we didn't sit here in complete silence whilst you were setting it up.
Sometimes I chat a bit before.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
after. As well.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
I forgot the question.
sorry. That was me. That was my fault. So what's the greatest journey you've ever been on? And you were talking about how we were talking about your appearance on Wife Swap.
Talking about appearance on Wife Swap. And I think it's emotional, the journey I've been on. So it's kind of been quite roller coaster. So in terms of what I was saying about Wife Swap, that kind of being withdrawn from your family and not having any contact with friends and loved ones and having to kind of rely on yourself and have that self-doubt. But in life generally, I think that's kind of what's happened. It's been quite a long journey of me having had a brain hemorrhage, been in a violent relationship, but having grown up in a castle, but my father being disinherited and me being made bankrupt. That you kind of go through all that, and then when you kind of not get to the end of it, because I'm not at the end of my life, that would be really depressing. But when you've kind of had those encounters and that kind of journey, then life actually is way simpler.
Yeah.
Do you mean you'd think it would be more difficult, but actually it's way simple because life doesn't actually get in the way. You just kind of go in, I'm here now, who gives a shit? Yeah. This is fun. Just enjoy it. So I'm really kind of, just my life has been a journey.
It's
brought me to a really quite sane place.
Yeah. And I just want to, again, quickly point out something. When you were talking about what you've been through in your life, there was a loud sigh. That was my dog. That was me.
Exactly. Just going, oh, gosh, she's not banging on about that again, is she?
Just thought I'd make that pretty clear. He's not sighing and talking about what she's been through in her life.
Debt, divorce, and domestic violence. Yawn.
So it was not me. Yeah, let's talk about kind of feeling content in your life sort of now because of what you've been through. What would you say makes you sort of happy now, or what specific things make you happy or make you giddy?
Genuinely being on stage makes me happy. I just love it. Somebody said, this is a question somebody asked me, is that have we met before? And I said, unless we've gigged together or drunk together, no. Do you mean? Because that's pretty much the two things that make me happy, doing comedy and drinking a lot. So I suppose I should put my kids in there somewhere, but they know I love them.
They'll
have to keep mentioning them.
Is there a specific thing about the performance that you like more than other things? What do you hope to like get out of it when you're performing?
I think it's that really engaging with people, so that if you have a thought or you're angry about something or you're happy about something or frustrated about something, that comedically you can go on stage and share that with an audience, and then you know, there's just a room full of people just going, oh yeah, I know what you mean, yeah, you know, and laughing in recognition. Equally, sometimes just people stare at you and you go, oh well, you don't get me, that's fine. Yeah, there's something I don't know why it has to be a group of strangers. I've got some really nice civilized friends at home. I don't know why I don't just chat to them around the dinner table, but no, doing it on a stage just feels more cathartic and more purposeful.
When I recently went, because I hadn't been on stage for a while, and then I did that interview thing that's in the last episode, check it out, that's a good plug. So I hadn't been on stage for a while. I sort of weirdly had forgotten about the fact that loads of people are just looking at my face. And that was really hard to sort of like get used to again. We're just sat on a stool and everyone's looking at me. It was a bit weird.
I know, and at some points you just do want to say, are you not going to say anything? it's me. All right, sorry.
What's the next question shall we go for? Okay, here's a TV show idea I had for you.
All right.
Game.
Oh, good. Have you got a producer attached?
This is just a very basic idea. Now, you can maybe sort out the rest of the stuff. Just kind of a play on your name, really. Sutherland in the Motherland. Okay?
I see where you're going with that.
Let's say you're doing one of these travel shows about where you could go.
Sutherland in the Motherland, yeah.
Where would you visit? Like, let's say three places you'd like to show on this
TV show. Perfect. Berlin. Loved Berlin. Love it. I just think it's got an extraordinary vibrancy, bohemian, but then just steeped in so much dramatic history that I just felt a real sense in Berlin. They're just amazing. So every time anyone goes, where should we go in Europe? I go, go to Berlin, take me with you. I want to go back to Berlin. I must go back to Berlin. So I would go there 100 times over. Jamaica.
Yeah.
I would definitely, if you've not been to Jamaica, you should go to Jamaica. It is literally that place where, when everybody talks about paradise and what paradise looks like, that is that classic white sand, clear blue sea, a temperature that's adorable with people who are amazing. Just that rhythm and sense of fun and just really all embracing and kind of giddy making. And then the other place would be somewhere like Oban. Do you mean up in the sort of Scottish Highlands, just where driving through Glencoe, all those places that are just magnificent but a bit bleak, but in the same sense as being bleak, they're kind of, they fill your air with lungs and they fill you with a sense of being alive, and you just go, wow, look at that, that's just incredible. Just an incredible views, wherever you turn, just breathtaking. Those are my two places.
And when you said Berlin, you'd go there like 100 times. I don't know if the producers would be up for that, because that's quite a lot.
I suppose it's just like seeing the same set on stage every night, isn't it?
And then like they'd have to pay a lot of money to get you there, all the accommodation stuff and that.
It was a really good apart hotel that's really cheap. It's quite reasonable.
Okay, maybe they might be fine with it. Yeah. So what do we get?
I think it's a great idea. I'm thinking, so now that we said this on the podcast, nobody can nick that idea.
Yep, that's evidence. True.
Mm-hmm. So Sutherland in the Motherland is. Yeah, I adore it. I'm having actually a little coffee with Rich and Melvin next week. I might put it to him. Because there's the double thing as well as the fact that I'm known as the comedy mother. So
And just for anyone not sure, Richard Melvin's like a sort of a man.
He's a man. Well, there really. We go. Sometimes that's questionable, but sorry, Richard.
I'll just skip past that because I might want to work for him again. Hey, Richard, great work as a man. Usually when with my guests, I get like an exclusive moment with them that they've never like done in a podcast before. But you've not really been on.
No, on I've yet,
so
really
all
been
this
on
is sort of an exclusive.
Before. Yeah.
Is there? What could we do?
Well, that's because I have been guests on a podcast, but you said you Googled me and I didn't come up, so they clearly didn't want me to be remembered as being on the podcast.
I put it in iTunes, your name, and then there was no podcast.
Nothing.
So I think you've probably might have been on them, but you're not in the title.
Oh, I'm not in the title of the podcast, but as a guest. Yeah. I see. Yeah, no, because I definitely haven't done.
Which I think that's quite frankly rude of them.
It is
not
rude,
to put
isn't
you
it?
In
not
the
just
title.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Comedian or whatever, just in the title.
Let's say there was some JoJo Sutherland merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say you had an action figure, JoJo Sutherland action figure. What would you like its look to be? Like, what do you think you wear the most and would like to be on this action figure that people can buy in shops and stuff?
Well,
Who would your arch nemesis be in this world? So you've got like another type of action figure.
See, some of the listeners might be too young to remember, but I was always likened to Kim Wilde when I was younger, but I don't necessarily know.
The name rings a bell, but I don't think
she was fabulous. She just had lots of blonde backcombed hair. It was very 80s. And so I think my action figure, I'd just, power dressing, properly dressed all in black with just a shock of blonde hair.
Yeah.
It's like Wonder Woman or something.
What kind of stance? Like a Wonder Woman stance?
Yeah, a bit of a Wonder Woman stance. Yeah, hands on hips, definitely hands on hips every time. No,
sorry, even asked.
Because that's another tip, to give yourself confidence, apparently. That's a thing you should do before you go on stage. Just sort of, stand with your hands on your hips because it gives you a sense.
And stop it before you get on stage.
And stop it before you get on stage, because then you just look like a tip. And who would be my arch nemesis as an action figure?
Yeah.
Does it have to be somebody I know in real life, or couldn't it be?
It can be. No, it can be made up.
Few people that might just not book me again. No, that's not true. Well, maybe. Who would it be? Who would be my arch nemesis?
It could be like a fictional person that encompasses something that you
want. Is there a Piers Morgan doll?
I hope not. It could be him.
Piers Morgan doll or a Jim Murphy doll. He's my arch nemesis at the moment. I can't believe how annoyed I'm getting at politics just now. It's good, but it's also just like, maybe. See, now you've made me think about it. There's quite a lot of people like get really angry. I'm furious with David Cameron at the moment.
And then this could sort of culminate in the sort of end of a film battle when it's like a sort of in an Iron Man film or something like that. There's a big battle between you and your arch nemesis.
Oh, yeah.
So how would you defeat whoever it is sort of as well? You can think about that.
Well, you always defeat everybody with humour. You just got to laugh at them.
Just tell jokes that are also lasers.
Like, that come out of your mouth like bullets.
So
jokes are the bullets that absolutely annihilate the current political spectre that is in existence, with the exception of Nicola Sturgeon, because I do quite like her.
That would be a good film.
That would be a good film, wouldn't it?
So, at what sort of speed are the bullets coming out?
Oh, rapid, like a machine gun. And then a few kind of odd little sniper ones. Do you mean just some little, the ones that come by the side?
So is it a bullet for like, because if it's a bullet for every joke, that's probably quite, that's not that rapid.
Well, it depends. I think there's all kinds of different kinds of machine guns. So you've got, kind of just pistols. And then you've got, those scar gun attack ones. Because sometimes, when you just have that kind of attack of some stream of conscious when you're on stage, it's really funny. Just coming out a million miles an hour.
I'd pay for that as well. So Sutherland and the Motherland. And bullet fighting all the politicians you don't like. And a sort of, where would the setting be, do you think, for the final battle?
I would like the final battle to be right in the middle of Princess Street, in the front of one tram either side. So, from trams coming from. In fact, it could be a tram battle on the front of a tram. Just firing out insults at politicians.
That'd be amazing. Best use of trams yet.
Yeah. Is anyone using them?
I've never been on one. Have you been on one?
I went on one the very first day because Radio Scotland asked me to.
Yeah.
Get on one and get off the other end and tell me how it was.
Pretty good job.
Yeah, exactly. It was fine.
Yeah. I had
nothing really more to say on the subject.
I would have also went on it if it was a job.
Exactly.
Here's my get ready for my trademark question.
Okay.
So this is because a lot of interviewers sort of they think you need to have talent. I just think you need one killer question. And then that sets you way high above them.
We could not disagree more.
Just one killer question.
You could have talent, James.
I'm just joking. I believe that as well, but I'm just saying.
You're just being deliberately
setting it up like a sneaky boy.
Okay.
What do you like?
What do I like?
Yeah.
You genuinely have to expand on that question a bit more.
What do you like?
What do I like?
Yeah.
Lots of things or just a specific... Do I have to have a trademark like of something?
No, just it's a trademark question. You don't need to have a trademark answer.
See, you were confusing me there.
Sorry.
What do I like? I like a bloody good sit round the table with half a dozen of people that I've known for a long time drinking ace wine and eating magic food.
What sort of food would it be? Your ideal?
And my ideal food is different things that you can kind of, so quite sort of Spanish-y past, what's the word I'm looking for? Tapas. Kind of things. So roasted peppers and hummuses and different kinds of meats and breads and olives and all that kind of stuff. Everybody's just dipping it in. And lots of cheese. And there has to be at least a bottle of port. Well, there has to be more than one bottle of port because the one bottle of port would just be for me. Just round a table with six of the nicest people that I know. That's what I really like.
Hmm. It's nice. It's a nice thing to happen. Just now and again. Now it's red time to get deep.
Okay.
Okay. This is the deepest question of them all. Oh, yeah. It's the best preparation I've ever seen. Yeah. Do you want to even do the question or just want to keep doing that?
Yeah.
Miming doing weights. What would you like to ask yourself? If you could ask yourself something when you were younger or in the future, you can go and ask yourself a question about how your life ended up, how it's turned out by that point, or sort of.
Why did you let stupid, stupid idiots annoy you?
That's a good question to ask. So when would you be asking yourself now?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think... The times that I've ever felt kind of insecure or undermined or not that good about myself is when I have allowed people that really shouldn't matter get under my skin.
Right, yeah.
And I think in the future or I go back to my younger self and go, don't listen, it's just bollocks.
Yeah.
And it's all built on sand, so shut the fuck up.
You tell yourself to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I was asking myself a question. I wouldn't be so rude to myself, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm really rude to myself sometimes. Get a fucking grip, you stupid woman.
So that is sort of basically the end of this. Just anything at the... Finally, anything at the end you'd like to add... Plug or get off your chest?
I really want to plug Muff. I know you've had Daniel Sloss on here, but yeah. I'm going to plug it as well.
We can talk a bit about Muff, actually,
yeah,
if you want to.
That was just the best fun I've had this year. And actually, in terms of jobs, I can't even describe it as a job. It was a month in a room with some incredibly talented people having the best laugh. And you know, I know we've all kind of said, I've seen one episode of it now and obviously I'm going to be biased and I think it's absolutely brilliant, but I genuinely believe you can't have that much fun on a set and for that not to translate onto the screen. I just think they can't, it has to come out in just how much fun we were having. So I'm really, really excited about that. I didn't really like the character that I play, which is Hillary. Is so vile that it's going to be quite nice, or hopefully it's going to be quite nice if people like Hillary and then meet me go, oh, wow, you're very different. But then part of me goes, maybe that is my alter ego. Maybe that's deep down inside Hillary, just that getting everything off my chest.
Yeah, I was just
in the confines of the script, allowed to be just the most vile, obnoxious, confrontational, not give a shit kind of person, which I think at some points in life you would love to be able to do, but it's just not socially acceptable. And I, you know, like I said, when right at the beginning we were saying, you know, about being honest, I do like being honest, not to hurt people, just I can't be bothered with the bullshit. So, you know, I am quite honest, but my character Hillary just gets to be that extra bit honest, where you kind of go, you wouldn't actually ever speak to somebody like that in real life, but every single one of us, I think, wishes we could.
And what is sort of like the setup of Muff Productions? Like, what is the thing that's going to come out, like, for people who want to check it out? Like, what's the premise?
It's basically taking the absolute piss out of the TV industry. and taking a bit of a swipe at us as a society, the way that we kind of get all hung up on PC and racism and homophobic and all this kind of stuff. It's basically racist, homophobic and sexist, but not in a bad way. And it's kind of throws the mirror up at people a bit. But it essentially, it revolves around a bunch of TV execs in a boardroom that are just the vilest human beings, making the most hideous television programmes for the majority of the general public to lap up. Which, in reality, we're not that far away from in real life. And so, yeah, we've just taken what exists, essentially, and heightened it and exposed it and magnified it and hopefully, to the viewing public, made it absolutely bloody hilarious.
Yeah, but do you think it's wise to be slagging off TV execs when you're going to be pitching Sutherland in the Motherland soon?
Oh, yeah, but that's Judah Sutherland. This is him. Yeah, but I do have a genuine belief that TV's changing so much. I think the future content, people just don't watch television the way they used to. I think that, you know, Channel 4, BBC, all this kind of stuff, they're not going to disappear overnight, but I think internet content is the way forward. Yeah.
If you just say some like nice things about the iPlayer, then you might get it on that.
Absolutely. So just, well, that's exactly. But I genuinely think that the iPlayer is one of the way forwards. And and people I know now don't have to, they just have Netflix, or do you mean they're watching television through Amazon Prime or whichever way it is. And I think in 10 years' time, BBC will be just like, I don't know, having a landline telephone. Probably still have it, but you never fucking use it.
Yeah.
It's quite a good analogy, actually.
Thank you very much for doing this,
thank
Jojo.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was my chat with Jojo Sutherland. Thank
you're
you, Jojo.
Here,
yeah, you're still here.
Probably when you're listening to this, I'll still be here.
And at this point in doing my outro, I'd like to promote the person's Twitter and all that. So if you want to say what you're on your
Twitter
is, yeah?
Yeah, my Twitter is @JojoSutherland and my Facebook is JojoSutherland1 because I've got a fan page. Don't bother. Just go and friend me on Jojo Sutherland, which is also on Facebook. I've got a website. JojoSutherland.co.uk. I think that's it.
What's the Muff Productions? Do you know what the
Muff Productions is?
URL is
at Muff Productions for Twitter, and we're on Facebook as well as Muff Productions. Don't Google Muff Productions; that's a whole world of hurt. Facebook or Twitter, and do keep an eye because it's gonna be hilarious. And it's the other thing that point that we've made very clearly is that you do have to search it out and click on and look for it. So if you don't like it, tough. Do you know what I mean? It's not being forced to down your throat. You have to come and search for us.
So there we go. There's where you can find out more about Jojo. And I assume when I do the next chat, she'll still be here.
Yeah.
So
going nowhere. There's a really nice flat, guys.
So yeah, thanks for listening and bye-bye. If you like this podcast, you can follow the Twitter account at Chats4You. And if inclined to do so, you could also leave a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store to help it get a little bit more attention. But nothing less than glowing. So just to make that clear, a glowing 5-star review on the iTunes store. Thank you. This podcast was an Imminent Joy production. Visit imminentjoy.com for a bunch of different funny people doing a bunch of different funny things.